Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Andrew on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Andrew, good show today. We got to wrap this up a little bit. Try to make sense of all this. So we often talk about strategy. Faisal and I often do the show. Every once in a while are graced by your presence, which I think is really powerful because you're the guy on our team who runs the financial planning division. It's kind of the nexus of where all the strategy flows through.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the strategizing and conversations we have really in relation to what clients are trying to achieve from an objective goals and objectives perspective flow through you in the planning work that we do. And all kinds of questions that people have for us from, when should I take my CPP and OAS? Do I take it early? Do I delay it late? Mm-hmm. Right? You've had some instances, we dealt with that. This week was interesting. We often get asked, and you were dealing with a case about a commuted pension, right? So you've got a person retiring and has the opportunity to take their pension, commute it, so move it out of a defined benefit pension plan, which pays you just a monthly, guaranteed monthly salary, and take a lump sum of capital. I want to ask you a little bit about this because there's lots of listeners that are in this position, and in the press we hear about it's a good time with interest rates being so low and earnings expectations being so low. That translates into some very, very potential large numbers if you are to take that defined benefit pension plan and, as we say, commute it out of the pension plan and into your own hands. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and there is. And, of course, the other thing you didn't mention there, Dave, was the fact that the pension actuarial tables were changed a couple of years ago, which drove those numbers for people that wanted to commute pensions to higher dollar figures, which made it more attractive.
Right.
But one of the key factors that we tend to see is when you do a pension commute or when you transfer a pension into your own name and try to manage it yourself, is that there's two components to it. There's a locked-in component or which is designed, this is what was expected to be in that piece. And then there's a component outside of that that's beyond that. And there's a taxation compound, a taxation effect with that second half. So let's say you had $1 million for argument's sake.
Yep.
And
a commuted value.
Okay. Half of that value has to go into a locked in plan. The other half you're forced to take into income. And now think about it. If you take $500,000 in the income right now, you will be taxed at the top marginal tax rate in Alberta. Almost 50%.
Right.
That's a huge number. So that 500,000 is now, let's call it 275 for simple math,
right.
But it's come down significantly. So you have less money in which to live on now.
Right.
And we haven't even touched the surface on the end result is what's the goal?
Right. Right.
Versus anything else. Because I want to have the money and I want to be able to pass on that wealth to the next generation. Well, there may be other options in which to do that. One would be commuting a pension. Another one is perhaps maybe you want to look at some type of insurance strategy that would be able to create an estate. Perhaps another option is saying, maybe I want to take it under these circumstances versus anything else. But there are more than one option. And the other piece to it is a locked-in plan by itself is really an inflexible plan. So there's some potential issues in drawing those dollars down.
So pause for just a minute because there's lots of confusion about this stuff. And you do a great job often with clients of just drawing it on the whiteboard so that they understand this because there's a few moving parts. But the number one, if you're thinking about commuting a pension, all that means is you're taking the amount of money out of the pension plan that the pension deems, the pension actuaries deem, is needed to support what your monthly payment was going to be. And that's the commuted value.
Yes.
Because rates of return and return expectations are so low, what you're saying is that companies have had to overfund or over-contribute in this environment to what they would have had maybe 10 or 15 years ago when interest rates were higher. Because of that, there becomes a taxable component to it. And so before anybody commutes a pension, they should be doing some analysis around what is the implication of that tax.
That's correct.
And then ultimately, the money that rolls out of the pension plan has to flow into a very special kind of registered account called a locked-in account. Mm-hmm. And there's some restrictions on that. And then you had another interesting conversation about potential problem that might create on a drought on an income drawdown strategy.
That's right. And because the one account is a LIRA, or when it starts funding out, we call it a LIF, means life income fund. Right. People sort of get caught and confused. They think it's locked in. No, life income, because your employer expected you were going to get it over your lifetime.
What's the difference between a locked income fund, a LIF,
yep,
and a retirement income fund, a RIF?
Yeah. A RIF is a completely flexible plan, meaning if you wanted to draw all the money out of a RIF in 1 year, you can.
Right.
You'll pay the highest, you'll pay the tax on it, taking it out, right, but you can get it all out. A locked in, or excuse me, a life income fund or a LIF gives you a minimum amount based on your or your spouse's age and a maximum amount based on your age, and that is all you're allowed to take out. So now you have a whole new consequence taking place where I can draw down on assets, but I have to be careful because at one point I may not have any of those flexible assets anymore, and I right, only have that inflexible asset that will only give me that minimum and maximum.
Okay, well, I mean, if we haven't convinced you that there is a need for some planning, if you've got these kinds of things, just on that, we're just scratching the surface here on these plans, but we are having lots of conversations about commuted values, and if you're interested in a commuted value, you definitely need to seek some professional input on this, both planning and analysis on the commuted value and the risks attached to that.
Well, and there are risks attached, yeah, to it, and really what you have to consider first and foremost is, what am I trying to achieve?
Right.
And
why commuting in the first place,
yes,
right?
And there's a whole bunch of reasons for it, don't get me wrong. There's a whole bunch of reasons, perhaps not. And it's individual. It's dependent on a whole bunch of different factors. How much is in the plan? What my goal is, what I'm trying to achieve, what I'm trying to get out of it. So it's not just one size fits all, folks. It's everybody's individualness and everybody's thought is individual.
Well, I like that idea about it's not a one size fits all. There's all these rules of thumb that we have in our industry. I guess every industry has it. And you know, people are often making decisions based on those. But even that whole OAS, CPP, when do I take it, early versus late conversation, is very specific to a family's goals.
It is.
And their financial situation.
And that hasn't changed. I've seen some interesting articles recently. Some of the stuff we've been doing here at Popwitch Carmally has included looking at old age security and perhaps delaying it, sometimes just a year, because, hey, I'm going to get a clawback if I take it this year. But if I delay it a year, I'm going to get an increase in the amount I get, right, in OAS, and I'm not going to get clawed back.
Right.
So it's a win for that individual client at that moment in time.
Yep.
And it's just the little pieces, little nuances that, you know, try to earn you as much as we most possibly can when you retire so you can enjoy the lifestyle you want.
Yeah, I think that's well said. We're going to have to wrap up another, I think, hopefully you guys agree, a good show. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the complexity, all this stuff. Try to make sense of it. Pull it together in a total wealth strategy and make sure that people retire but their lifestyles don't. We're doing that at our upcoming seminar. Why don't we remind everybody about that?
Absolutely. We're having that this Tuesday coming up, September 24th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton, Calgary West. That's across from COP. You can give us a call at 966-8400 to reserve your seat, or come to us online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right. Thanks for joining us for another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. Have a great weekend.
David Popowicz and Faisal Carmally are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Carmally do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.